I have to say, I really feel like we should just listen to the rain. Or maybe just... There's a whole conference going on up there. Can you hear it? Is anything being said or not? Is that speech or speechlessness? This text kind of just, you know, you had it, well, like a lot of Dogen, you know, you're just flying all over the place. And it's interesting, you know, being all about expression, I kind of had a difficult time actually just landing anywhere. You know, wherever I went, all of a sudden it was like going into a chute and you end up somewhere else and you try to find out where you were and then you were like back here, but it was... You know, it was like this constant just movement everywhere. But for some reason at this time, two things really, two parts of it kind of stayed with me. And the first had to do with when Great Master Zhao Zhu said, "If you sit steadfastly without leaving the monastery for a lifetime and do not speak for 5 or 10 years, no one will call you speechless. After that, not even the Buddhas will equal you." So I found this kind of interesting, this steadfastly sitting while residing in the monastery. No one will call you speechless, though for 5 or 10 years, you're not actually saying anything, ostensibly. So I think this kind of really bears a lot of investigation on the part of all of us. What is this, no one will call you speechless without speaking? So I think Dogen's indicating partly a difference here between real speech and speaking. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing at all. In a way, speechlessness is this just bottomless communication beyond expression. Speaking, maybe we could also say talk is cheap. It's not in the words. Also interesting, I think, is this image of without leaving the monastery. He says, if you activate without leaving the monastery, you do not leave the monastery. This indicates, really, that in a sense, the monastery is actually a state of mind that we can activate, not any particular place we can go. We could probably go to the most intense monastery in Japan and not really enter the monastery. So this container for practice actually resides wherever we activate it. He then asks us, what kind of invisible path is there between the lifetime and the monastery. Just investigate steadfast sitting. So this steadfast sitting is key. It would seem that our Zazen is in fact, in a way, this pathway to activating the monastery. And in this way, activating this quality of being in the monastery in the vast array of forms that actually make up our lives. It's really in each moment of practice, nowhere else. And they say the Crystal Palace has no walls. So steadfast sitting, I looked up actually the word steadfast. It says immovable, determined, continuous, sustained. Through frost and spring, he's asking us to practice our Zazen throughout everything. And in this way, then, we can quiet the mind so that we can get to that dropping away as the ultimate treasure place that we've been hearing about. And so this very intention itself, this aspiration, this desire, this effort to do this, is itself the source of our speechless expression, which is spontaneous. I found in my life that most times when people express the most, they have no idea they're doing it. And sometimes when people try the hardest, the less it's happening, shall we say. So this quality of spontaneous expression is actually really then beyond expression. Can you say what is happening in this session to yourself, to the group? Could actually any words possibly get what's happening here? I haven't found them and I haven't heard them ever. But feel this room. Expression is penetrating from the floor to the roof. Are words really necessary? They can't really ever get it, and yet the other side of that is yes, they are necessary because we have to try. Clumsily at best most of the time, but we have to keep trying because even our clumsy words are part of what connects us. But sometimes you can feel like a rear toenail on an elephant's rear foot, sort of trying to explain the tip of his right ear. So this ultimate treasure place of dropping away that we're all going to and we're all in. I have to say that really, you know, I've heard others say it. I mean, this session is just something very magical here. I've never kind of experienced the whole group together letting go like the rain, the way it's happening this week. And this dropping away, that true refuge, is actually always available to us, not only here, but anywhere, really. Even in places like Sing Sing, Bedford Hills, anywhere. The power and importance of this steadfast sitting is really no joke. And it's something that we can all too easily take for granted. You know, it's almost like having the privilege of being able to do it any time. We, in fact, don't do it any time. There's nothing more powerful. So dropping away our ideas of right and wrong, who we are, who we're not, who we should be, who everyone else should be, who everyone else is not, what the world should be, what the world is not. When we can let it go, even for one moment, it's like our whole body and mind just being washed by the rain. It's so freeing. And it's interesting because it's not something we can make happen. We're not throwing away body and mind. We're not fixing body and mind. We're not stopping body and mind. It's like we're just letting it drop. And it's a very mysterious process because we can't make it happen. We can just be present to allow it to happen. You know, it's kind of like a leaf falling off a tree, you know. At some moment, it just releases. And space opens up and then there's room. There's room for ourselves, all of ourselves, and others, if we really allow for that vulnerability in ourselves and others. There's a famous saying, which is, don't be afraid of the true dragon, which sounds so fierce. Which on one hand, it is. But on the other hand, it's bare, intimate, and indestructible. Another part of the piece that really, touched me in a way was the relationship that happened. Kaku spoke about it also beautifully, between the relationship of Zui Feng and the hermit, the valley drinker that we heard about, who, while going off by himself, ostensibly leaving the monastery, we can see actually never left the monastery. And his quality of expression was so strong that Zui Feng heard it, you know, from miles away and was curious to meet him. And so he came to him and he said, "If you have expression, I will not shave your head. And I'm just not the person to go into the semantics of every aspect of, well, if it's you, you can't have, you know, I'm just..." The end of the day, basically, it was like a "show me what you got" statement. So this valley drinker, whom we've now heard very eloquently, was so very connected to his deepest source that he actually responded to this very deep invitation, actually, to show him his real self beneath the masks and beneath the words. And he answered with no pithy response. There were no words that could fully meet that invitation. So he brought himself. And I think that even though in this story it's connected to a student-teacher relationship, and a kind of ordination thing, I think that actually the heart of this, it doesn't matter. I think any real relationship is asking that of both parties. So the hermit comes to him with a washed head. No words. He just brings himself, his head washed, ready to be shaved. So this quality of just rinsing himself, in a sense, purifying, you know, making contact with himself, there's a very intimate quality to rinsing your head. And he does this before he shows up, fresh, open, willing, and vulnerable. And he arrives to allow Zui Feng, another person, to shave his head, to actually, which just takes trust, a lot of trust, to let somebody else put a razor to your head. But then on another level, to ask for and receive help in our endless endeavor of dropping our attachments. And I would say that this is actually the only way to real freedom, growth, and use in the world, is actually through relationship. It's just simply not possible to do by ourselves. It's actually through relationship that we discover, or I could also say uncover, ourselves through expressing, listening, being expressed. And in this way, we can see our differences, and we can see our uniqueness, and also we can see where we're stuck and where we need to drop. Our difference is actually really the deepest expression of our oneness. Having a little folder issues here, I'm sorry. So really I would say that it's in our difference, our uniqueness, that more often or not holds our greatest and sometimes most painful gifts until we bring them into the light. And bringing them into the light through our steadfast sitting and through relationship, we can allow and find, and by allowing, we can then find actually where and how we're uncomfortable. And then when we begin to sense those places, what's irritating you? What's making me want to run away? What's making me want to annihilate that person? These are all pointers. These are our guides into those places in ourself we don't want to go. And we don't see, because we don't want to go there unless there's something outside of us saying, look here. So in this way, we can bring our awareness into what is hidden. Shame, fear, anger, all those qualities that are keeping us from expressing who we truly are, which is also our shame, fear, and anger. It's not like we become our true selves when we get rid of our shame, fear, and anger. Our shame, fear, and anger are a very important part of who we are. They're actually often what take us into those deepest places where the light does not go. And when we actually do this, we all kind of get equal parts awkward and beautiful, you know, as we fumble around towards this very profound healing. And this is what's happening here. And we can't see it in ourselves, but I'm sure there isn't a person here who hasn't seen it happening in the people around them. So I would just really encourage you for the last few days of this session, and of course extending past this session, to just bring yourself fully and completely into the myriad forms of your own life as it unfolds. Our actions, not our words, are our truest expression. And I would say that this week has been just the most incredible symphony of spontaneous and true expression. In the yoga, in the sewing, in the food, in the flowers, in the coffee, in the tea, in the cleaning, in the service, in the silence, in the rain, the ants, in the footsteps during morning kin hymn. Listen to all of it, not with your ears, but with your heart.